Welcome indeed to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols alongside NBA champ Richard Jefferson, seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry. And people, we are less than 1 hour away from the NBA trade deadline. 3 o'clock Eastern, we're going to be on the air all the way through it, up until 4 p.m. Eastern to react to all of today's deal. We've got our host of Insiders standing by as well, NBA champ Kendrick Perkins, senior writer Zach Lowe. They're all on the line right now. We've got so many people here today, I can barely keep everyone or introduce them. Now, another key member of our usual trade deadline team, sadly, cannot be with us today. Yes, we thought we could bring the trade crank back, but we were thwarted by COVID protocols. I mean, you set one guy on fire one time and people get concerned about safety, but never fear, Director Kathy and crew are hooking us up. We have a virtual smoke machine. Aww. Anytime major news happens. It's something.
Less is more, less is more, but that's fine. I'll take virtual versus the, you know, I didn't get the call last year to be on the trade show, so I'm excited to be here today.
I am too.
Okay.
I didn't get the call either, so.
Gentlemen, more is more.
More is more.
Thank you very much. It is time for today's trade deadline update brought to you by Kia, because we've got a ton of news already in. The Magic and Nuggets have agreed on a deal to send forward Aaron Gordon to Denver. Sources telling ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, now in exchange, Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and a projected 2025 first-round pick go to Orlando. The Nuggets also shored up their front court by acquiring JaVale McGee from the Cavaliers for Isaiah Hartenstein and 2 second-round picks. McGee has, of course, won 3 titles in the past 4 years. The Bulls also making a big splash today. Woj reporting they're getting Magic All-Star center Nikola Vucevic from the Magic for Wendell Carter, Otto Porter, 2 first-round draft picks. Chicago currently a game and a half out of that final playoff spot in the East. And the Magic not done dealing. They also traded guard Evan Fournier, never Google, to the Celtics for 2 second-round draft picks. Fournier is averaging a career-high 19.7 points per game, hitting nearly 39% of his three-pointers. Evan quickly introduced himself to Celtics fan on Twitter, posting, "If you're not familiar with me, please Google my last name. You're welcome. Let me repeat, do not do that, people. Just trust me. Just trust me. Have some trust." And George Hill headed to the Philadelphia 76ers as part of a 3-week deal involving the Oklahoma City Thunder. Richard is literally sitting next to me Googling right now. And the New York Knicks, sources told Woj. Bradley Beal tweeting, "Here we go." Woo! Why? I just said never Google.
Have to. Oh, that's not nice. Don't do that. Don't. Bradley Beal, here we go. Where are you going, Bradley?
One of the biggest trade targets on the market is, of course, Kyle Lowry. He was in action last night for the Raptors in their win over the Nuggets. Lowry registering a career-high plus 42 in the box score. Cameras caught Lowry walking off the court in Tampa, possibly for the last time in a Raptors uniform. And look, we all have famous fans who go on teams. Well, a fan interrupted Kyle's press conference.
"You guys, we have a special guest here."
"I just want to know if you guys have any, I'm here to translate. I'm his translator."
"You know you're not. No, no, you're not. I'll hit you when I'm done, bro."
"All right."
That would be Drake. Drake FaceTiming in to Kyle Lowry's press conference. He is certainly the biggest name left on the docket today as
Drake?
We go through Drake. Yes, Drake is available for several first-round picks. And the question now is, as Philadelphia, Miami, and the Lakers are reportedly in the final rounds of a bidding war for Kyle Lowry, who is 35 years old today, whose contract expires, so he is a rental by definition. The question for those three teams and anyone else trying to sneak in is, how much do you give up for Kyle Lowry? Richard, how high would you go?
It depends on the team. Like the Lakers, in my opinion, I like Schroeder. I don't think that Kyle Lowry is that much more of an improvement where you want to give up something, especially chemistry is fickle. Maybe you're thinking Kyle Lowry can helm the ship while these guys are out and you won't drop as far. Maybe he's a better floor general from that standpoint. But if I'm Philly, I'm willing to give up young assets because I think he's the point guard that can do some things, and I think he can play well with Ben Simmons. But I don't, even in Miami, wouldn't give up a ton if you're Miami. Miami is further away than people think. in my opinion. I think they're further away, especially with the Nets doing what they've done. I think they're a little bit further away, and I don't think Kyle Lowry, who is a rental, is the guy that will get them over the edge.
I think that contract is hard to just swallow because it's just at that age, and it's a rental. We don't want another situation that happened in Toronto with the guy who plays across the street. And so you got to sit here if you're the Lakers and be like, no, because Dennis Schroeder picks you up full court. Lowry's not, he's not doing that. So he brings a different defensive scheme to the team. And if you're going to go anywhere, stay in Toronto, you know, because your legacy has started and it's going to be one of those legacies that's going to live on in Toronto. Don't go anywhere. Tell them you don't want to be traded and just stay with
them. Nah, you're getting traded. You're going. You're going now, Big Bob.
He can't really afford him, though.
Yeah.
But you don't want a 35-year-old point guard in this day and age.
I see no lies.
Zach, the idea, the trade the Lakers have possibly been talking about, Bobby Marks was on TV this morning talking about, and you heard the guys just mention Dennis Schroeder. You heard them mention Talen Horton-Tucker would possibly be in that deal. KCP, you have to make all of those moves because of the salary match, even though you'd be giving up a lot in the future for a guy who, as I said, would be a rental. What do you think Kyle Lowry is worth to these three teams who seem to be in the mix right now? How high would you go, Zach?
To me, the line is Tyler Hero. That's the one that you don't trade. Everything to up to that for all these teams, every asset you value less than that. And to me, that includes Dennis Schroeder. If you're the Lakers, you're trying to win right now. You can't worry about tomorrow. You can't worry about 2 years. LeBron is 35, 36. AD's in his prime. You got to win now. And if you think Kyle Lowry gives you a better chance to win, I think you swallow hard and make that trade. That's a lot to give up. Particularly, it just it takes a lot out of your rotation with KCP. KCP's a starter. THT is a future part of your team. But I think that price to me is palatable because that's why you get Dennis Schroeder. You get him because he's 27 in his prime. You can keep him. He can be part of your long term, or you can flip him in a deal like this. Kyle Lowry's a Hall of Famer. He's a really good player. He's better than Dennis Schroeder today, and that takes priority over everything else. To me, the only asset in play that people have talked about that you don't do is Tyler Hero, because I agree with RJ. I don't think Miami is quite close enough, and I think Tyler Hero at age 21 is too good to give up for Kyle Lowry. But other than that, it's all in play.
Well, first of all, I can't believe what I was hearing from RJ and the legend Robert Ory, the greatest role player of all time, disrespecting the greatest Raptor of all time and Kyle Lowry. If you're the Lakers, you got to push for him. I don't care if he was turning 37 today. He moves the needle, okay? And I get it. Dennis Schroeder is younger, and he's picking up 94 feet. But Kyle Lowry is a champion. He's battle-tested. He's another floor general that LeBron could trust that when he's not on the floor, he's going to make plays for others and hold the ship down. He also can play off the ball, meaning that he could build floor space and knock down threes. He's proven that to us. And by the way, Kyle Lowry is a pit bull. He gets you those extra possessions. He takes those charges. He moves the needle. And far as Tyler Hero, I was high on Tyler Hero at the beginning of the season. I thought he should have been an all-star. He has not lived up to expectations. He haven't. And RJ, if you sitting up here shaking your head after watching Tyler Hero last year in the bubble, we all had high expectations with the performance that he put on in the postseason down there in the bubble. His expectations were high.
Do you know who else still had? Finish what you're saying.
This is why they inserted him at the beginning of the season into the starting lineup. That thing, it did not work out. They had to move him to the bench and go back to Kendrick Nunn. So if you're the Miami Heat, which Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, they all about winning championships, and you got a chance to get your hands on Kyle Lowry right now for the moment, because Jimmy Butler is not getting any younger. He want to win right now. You got to make the move. If you're the Lakers and you're the Heat, you got to make the move.
Herc, this is the thing. We can't agree to disagree because you're actually wrong here. You're actually wrong.
Richard.
Just please, what? I'm telling them the truth. No, this is my thing, Herc. I understand what you – do you want to know if Kyle Lowry's whole thing would be done, this would be over, if they said yes to Hero? If they said yes to Hero, because you know who still has high expectations for him? Miami. Do you know who else has high expectations for Tyler Hero? The Toronto Raptors. So in my opinion, I'm not saying that like he didn't exceed, you know, the expectations of after playing in the bubble, but ultimately you don't want to give up young assets for what could be a rental. I don't think Kyle Lowry is the final piece for a championship for the Miami Heat. That's just my opinion.
By the way, I keep looking down because, of course, I've got my phone set for all the Woj bombs. And Woj just tweeted, Toronto is trading. And I was like, it's guard Mantham to the Utah Jazz for a future second round pick.
They're trading everyone. It is a yard sale. It is a full on yard sale.
So Woj bomb, it happened.
It's but just not that one, not
Kyle
that.
Lowry. There we go. Let's head back to Denver where they made two big moves in acquiring Aaron Gordon and JaVale McGee. Now, Zach, how much better do you feel the Nuggets are now in a West that is more up for grabs than we thought at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, they're meaningfully better. JaVale McGee is a huge upgrade at backup center. He's a rim protector that they haven't had. And Aaron Gordon, to me, is a little bit of a wild card because what the Nuggets have discovered in the last month is they are unguardable with Michael Porter Jr. at power forward and Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic on the floor. And what they wanted was a guy who could guard the bigger wings and maybe some power forwards if they're more threatening and dangerous offensive players to hide MPJ. But not clutter up the floor, not clutter up the spacing, be a little faster on his feet than Paul Millsap or Jermichael Green, and they're hoping Aaron Gordon becomes that player. Shooting, a little shaky, but he's a vertical element that they haven't had. He's a kind of cutter they haven't had. He's a better playmaker than Jeremy Grant, who walked away to Detroit. So I think the price was worth it. I think it's a meaningful upgrade. They're going to need him to shoot well. We'll see what happens, but I think the fit is there, and I love what the Nuggets did today. They're a better team today than they were yesterday. And this is what you do when you have an MVP candidate in his prime. You sacrifice some future for now, and the Nuggets are going for it, and that's what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Mike Malone has been screaming all year long that Jokic need help. Everybody has been screaming that Jokic need help. Jamal Murray, again, has not lived up to expectations to what we saw in the bubble. So what did the Denver Nuggets do? They did their thing right now. They're doing their thing in this trade deadline, in this trade before the trade deadline. Getting Aaron Gordon, the athletic wing, 6'8", could guard multiple positions. By the way, shooting a career high 40% from the three-point line is a serious upgrade. Getting JaVale McGee, a guy that is a rim protector, a live threat. You could actually play JaVale McGee and Jokic at the same time because Jokic is a threat for his pick and pop at the three-point line. JaVale McGee rolling to the basket, also protecting the basket. And I like what Denver did by adding these two players because remember, they lost Plumlee last year, this offseason, and they lost Jeremy Grant. Two guys that I thought were critical to their success in reaching the Western Conference Finals last year, and they replaced those guys by adding Aaron Gordon and JaVale McGee. So I think Denver Nuggets are doing the right thing right now, or have done the right thing thus far.
Yeah, the Nuggets made a big improvement at that. I know everybody wants to put Aaron Gordon at the wing, but I like him at that power forward spot. And I hate to say this, I played against Paul Millsap, so that means he's old. So Paul Millsap has to move to the bench and have him come off in certain situations. Also, just have him, because he's not as athletic as he used to be, he's not as consistent as he used to be, so I like the upgrade with Aaron Gordon. I like the fact they can bring him in with some energy, some dunks, some excitement, because with his dunks, it excites the team. But the thing I do hate about this trade is they have to get rid of Harris. I thought he was one of those key guys that could shoot some threes for them and provide some energy on the wing, so I'm upset about that. But I do I'm happy for this improvement that they have made.
Yeah, and Gary Harris, the one thing that was struggling with Gary Harris is that he was injured a lot, right? It was like when he was playing and healthy and fired up, he was the defender that they wanted. He could do a lot of things off the ball. He could play off the ball, didn't really need it in his hands. But it's funny. All of a sudden, the Nuggets struggled from last year, and they lost Jeremy Grant. They lost Plumlee. And so they're like, oh, well, we're missing what we got, what we had to let go. So they bring in Aaron Gordon, who I think is an upgrade. And then they bring in JaVale McGee. I wouldn't necessarily call it an upgrade, but it's on par.
Yeah, well, we'll talk a little bit later in the show about how all these moves affect the playoff picture in the West. But guess what? We don't know what all the moves are yet because it's not 3 o'clock yet. We will be keeping you up to date with everything that happens over the next hour. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk about what the Rockets should do with Victor Oladipo. He is, of course, set to become an unrestricted free agent after this season. They've got 45 minutes to make a deal for him, so stay tuned. First, though, time for our distant replay. This date, 2001. Oh, Vince Carter.
Oh, what'd he do?
Hopefully the rebound. Uh-oh. 24 again.
Oh. Wow. This should just be, it's not the jump without a Vince Carter highlight.
Right?
Yeah.
The Vincent replay. Very good, Mr. Danny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that Tony Massenberg sighting?
Yes.
Hey, let's get back to the fact this is a trade deadline show because, oh yeah, get me some smoke, Danny. Make it happen. According to Woj, the Hawks and Clippers discussing a trade for Rajon Rondo, sources telling ESPN. 40 minutes left until the deadline. Perk, you have been on this train for a month now, willing this to happen, trying to speak it into existence. Why do you think this is the answer for the Clippers? Because they have had so many issues at point guard.
Because they don't have a leader, Rachel, and they should have signed Rondo this offseason, but that's neither here or there. But Ty Lue wants Rondo. They have a great relationship from the Boston days, and he's going to take pressure off of Kawhi Leonard and PG. PG asked for a bigger role. He wanted the ball in his hands more, but he can't handle that. So they need a guy like Rondo that's going to set them up so that they could be who they are. And that's scorers and wing defenders, him and Kawhi. So I love it if they could land Rajon Rondo.
Robert, we've seen the Clippers struggle in some games in the clutch. You have guys who are so high talent, like Kawhi Leonard, like PG. But it just has felt so much that they haven't had someone to organize their offense in those key pressure moments. Rajon, not the player he was with Boston and Ty Lue, but do you think, just won a title last year, he's still the answer in a place like that?
Yes, the IQ is above beyond any player in the NBA because he gets you in the right position to make you score. He gets you in the right position to play defense. He does all these little things that, you know, a lot of guys don't notice, but he would make that Clipper team much, much, much better because Paul Pierce, I mean, not Paul Pierce.
I mean, it's all close.
You know, PG is the guy that he says he wants to handle rock. Yo, come off some screens. Do little things to make the game easy for you. And Kawhi, same thing. You two guys don't need to handle the rock, but let Rondo do that. Make the game easier for you so you can score and save some rest for the defensive end.
Well, isn't it funny we're looking at, let's go and look at Kyle Lowry, the name that we started off with, a veteran point guard.
Yep.
And who are trying to get him? Championship teams or teams that feel like they're in a running for a championship? Look at what Chris Paul did at 35 years old with the Phoenix Suns. There is a value to veteran point guards that know how to run teams that command respect, not just from players, but also other teams,
officials
and coaching staffs. So Rondo's won two championships. Kyle Lowry has won a championship. Chris Paul's been one of the best point guards, and look at the impact that they've had. So yes, is the Rondo move a great deal? Yes, I think they should have got him, and it's great to have teams valuing that type of veteran leadership.
I mean, this is contradiction at its finest, what RJ is doing. I mean, he literally just tried to kill me for talking about going in for Kyle Lowry, 35
in Miami,
and then now you want to sit up here, no, and the Lakers, and now you want to sit up here and praise how PG and everybody else are changing the game. I mean, you can't straddle the fence.
Yes, you can.
You feel this way or you feel that way. I mean, that's what it is.
Have you not been paying attention, Perk, to RJ's entire broadcast career so far? Absolutely, he can straddle the fence.
Yes. I mean,
the man is a specialist.
This Perk is calling me out on something that is not accurate and not real. What I was saying is that when you look at Schroeder is very, very good. Do you want to give him up for a rental? Do you want to give up Tyler Hero, who's 21 years old, and if it doesn't work, Kyle Lowry can go sign with somebody else and you lost Tyler Hero?
But
that's what I was saying. It's not that the veteran leadership isn't valued or that he's not great. I just don't – you got to be careful what you give up for
but
him.
But, RJ, that's not a valid point because Schroeder's in the last year of his deal, so he's also
he's
a rental right now.
He's 27 years old.
He is also a rental right now. Now, it's not a guarantee that if the Lakers keep him, he's going to sign back.
That's fair.
They've been back and forth trying to get a contract extension and haven't agreed on it. So he's a rental as well, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, cool.
Don't sass me.
I don't get sassy.
Sass me. Sass me.
What are you talking about?
Can you tell that these guys were former teammates? Because I can, for sure. And by the way, Perk, excellent salary cap knowledge. Just going to tip the cap there as well. All right, let's talk a little Victor Oladipo. Friends. fans because he also is a rental. He's in the final year of his contract with the Rockets. There is a lot of interest in him around the league. Steven Silas said that Oladipo was at practice with the team today. Not that surprising. It's not like a guy's going to get.
He showed up for work. Right. Yes. Congratulations.
But, you know, relevant, but he's not already on a plane to somewhere else. And by the way, showing up for work is an accomplishment in today's professional
sport. Yes, it is.
So there you go.
Perks here.
Robert, how much value do you think the Rockets can wring out of Victor Oladipo? Because, look, he's had the injury history. He's never quite gotten going this year, either with the Pacers or with Houston. But he is a trade chip for them.
He has a lot of talent, and he has a lot of potential, but he's potentially can get hurt also. And that's the thing that a lot of guys are scary of. And the Rockets right now are pretty much stuck with him in my mind, because if there was going to be an offer for Oladipo, it had been out there by now. He'd have been moved a long time ago when you was getting rid of all these other guys. But Oladipo can do some damage on a championship team. Like, I would love to see him with someone like the Lakers, mm-hmm. because they, you know, if you want to trade, and I love KCP, but this guy is a guy who can score more consistently than KCP mm-hmm. in a situation like that. But the injury bug is just a scary thing, because that wasn't just a minor injury. That was a devastating injury.
Yeah, and it's, but it's the value. It's like, you know, like Bradley Beal and like Victor Oladipo, these are young players that are in the quote-unquote prime of their career, so your value that you might want in return from them might be too much, because Victor Oladipo could help a ton of pop, but we got a bulge, Bob.
I was
going to
say, I need the Craig. Right, Kathy, yeah. I need the Craig.
What do we got?
The problem is, I have no issue interrupting you.
I have no problem.
The control room is nicer. It is official now, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. In fact, Rajon Rondo going to the Clippers. The whole panel, of course, was just talking about why they think this is good for the Clippers. But let's take that conversation to the next level. Robert, how much do you think this moves them up in terms of actual title contenders in the West?
They're probably number one right now, because I'm saying that only because LeBron is hurt. We don't know how bad LeBron is hurt. AD, we don't know what's going to happen with him. So right now, with this point guard, with Rondo coming there, they just got a lot of leadership on that court, because I would love to be a fly on the wall and put him in that locker room, because there's a lot of things that go on in the locker room that we hear about. But I know Rondo is going to take control and say, hey, the most important thing right now is to try to win a championship. We have the talent. We have the coaching staff. All we got to do is go out and put it and apply it on the court. Now we have the pieces to do that with Rondo, who's going to bring them together. He's that glue that they needed.
Well, and I look at the Denver Nuggets. I look at the Denver Nuggets and say that you needed to make a move, because if you tried to show up, and again, going against that Denver Nugget team that just got better, mm-hmm. if you're trying to show up with, you know, the same similar team, probably less talented, in my opinion, than last year, because Lou Williams hasn't been playing as great. No. I like Serge, and I like the way Serge is playing, but I feel like, you know, there's a difference between him and Montrez. So I just think that right now the Clippers are in that position, if you want to say that, because you don't know about the health of the two Lakers stars. I think the Clippers and the Denver Nuggets, in my opinion, are the two teams that I would really look at to make those types of runs if it's not the Lakers.
All right, well, here is the deal officially. Lou Williams is involved. He is on his way to Atlanta. You guys didn't mention the Jazz or the Suns in that conversation.
The Jazz and the Suns, there's still a lot more to prove. And I know the Jazz, even Rudy Gobert said it himself. We act like we have to go and do something in order for people to believe in us. So I'm just, you know, I'm echoing that. I believe that they have all the talent. They are one of the best teams, and they have been all year, but they have to go and do it in order to make believers.
Yeah, they have talent, but the other teams just have more talent.
Perk, what about you? Where do you think this move puts the Clippers with Rajon Rondo coming in and Lou Will coming out?
Well, first of all, shout out to Lou Will. He gets to eat all the
lemon peppers. All the lemon peppers.
Hey, do you, Lou? But listen, with Rajon Rondo coming in, now you have that voice in the locker room. Well, Ty Lue don't have to be the voice and the leader all the time. And we all know, all three of us on here that are champions, know how critical it is for guys to be on here and have a guy or guys in the locker room to police ourselves. And that's what Rondo is going to do. He's going to hold everyone accountable, including himself. That's what type of leader you need. And you can't argue with him. You know why? Because he's a two-time NBA champion. The only other person on that team that can say something is Kawhi Leonard. Everybody else really has to fall in line.
Yeah, and look, Serge Ibaka, obviously also a champion.
So yeah, Serge. My apologies, Serge. My bad. He's been modeling so much, I forgot all about it.
He's very fancy. Things are happening here. Just 25 minutes to go until the deadline. Kyle Lowry's still on the board. Victor Oladipo still on the board. Josh Hart from the Pelicans tweeting, refreshing my feed every 5 seconds. Josh, you know what you got to do. Just watch the jump. Well, keep you up to date.
It doesn't work like that, Josh. It's like if you just keep. It doesn't work that.
We'll have so much more coming up in the show. Brian Windhorst is joining us. We'll ask him if the Heat will be big buyers in these next minutes before the deadline. The clock is ticking. Stick with the jump. Welcome back. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside Richard Jefferson, Robert Ori, Kendrick Perkins. Our insiders are all standing by as news breaks. And now it is a time for another installment of Where in the World is Brian Windhorst? Brian, where you at?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Miami, Florida. Spring break is raging here, guys. But Miami Heat front office.
You look
is
like
inside.
You're raging, Brian.
Thank you. That's how I roll. Mm-hmm. The Miami Heat front office is very much inside, though. We got a game of chicken right now being played with the Toronto Raptors. The Miami Heat have made their offer. The Philadelphia 76ers have made their offer for Kyle Lowry, and the LA Lakers have made their offer. And the Raptors are sitting there deciding. From what I have been told, my latest information is that the Heat have not been willing to put Tyler Hero into that trade package. Now, they made another trade earlier today, picking up Nemanja Bjelica, which adds a power forward to them, which indicates that they may be willing to move Kelly Olynyk back to his native Canada, although he won't go there, he'll go to Toronto, in this type of trade. Duncan Robinson is the young player who has been willing, the Heat have been willing to put into the package so far. That has not satisfied the Raptors. There's been some discussion, I've been told, about rookie Precious Achiuwa, their young big man, also possibly being included. But Tyler Hero is the guy that the Raptors want to execute this deal. And in Miami, or in Los Angeles, they want Talen Horton-Tucker. And if they don't get either of them, maybe they'll do Philly's deal, which I think may have Tyrese Maxey and potentially another first-round pick in it. But I don't think they like their choices, and they could just keep him. And so that's what Toronto. The Raptors are pacing back and forth on, and the Heat here in Miami are thinking about whether to increase their offer. But I would say at this point, Tyler Hero's not getting put in.
And RJ, why you keep making that face at me like
because you know I keep showing you that they don't want to give up Tyler Hero.
But it just also shows you how valuable Kyle Lowry is, right? That they're not just about to give him up for nothing, and that they want back a great package in return. That shows you how much they value him as well, because they could just grant him his wish and send him along. They have the Raptors have nice young talent already in place right there, where they don't have to be acquiring more. That shows you the value of Kyle Lowry also. Don't be giving me that sassiness of what you just told me I was doing.
This shows the value of Tyler Hero, not Kyle Lowry. If Tyler Hero was in the deal would be done. So it's not showing the value of Kyle. It's showing the value of Tyler Hero. That's the part that you're missing. I understand what you're saying.
What you mean? How, Richard? If Toronto
because one
is
team
asking,
wants him, one team doesn't want to get rid of him.
If Toronto is asking for Tyler Hero, how does that not show the value of Kyle Lowry? That means I want him back in return to give up Kyle Lowry, right? It's the same thing, right?
If you want somebody and someone doesn't want to give you up, they're going to trade Kyle Lowry. They're going to trade him.
Yeah, but just not to Miami.
Yeah, that's fine. Because
okay,
Tyler,
cool. That's my point.
I love how Brian set this whole discussion up, by the way, saying it was a game of chicken between Pat Riley and Masai Ujiri. Oh. That is quite a game of chicken in terms of
like
high-level NBA general managers. But let's move on, Brian, because where are you now, friend?
I have moved up the Atlantic coast to Boston, where I would always like to spend spring break. Not everybody would, but I like clam chowder. What can
Hillier.
I say? So the Celtics made their significant move today, trading for Evan Fournier, a pretty good value trade. The Magic trading you know, giving Evan Fournier to the Celtics for just 2 second-round picks. That's pretty good. Now, they had some discussions about Aaron Gordon, and, you know, that would have been a difficult trade to execute because adding that much salary would have really pushed deep into the luxury tax. As it is, the Celtics moved into the luxury tax with this trade, with this Evan Fournier trade. It wouldn't surprise me if the Celtics come up with another deal here before the deadline to alleviate some of that salary cap situation.
17 minutes.
Well, I mean, there's the phone still works. So I know that, you know, Aaron Gordon ended up going to Denver for a package around young players. Certainly Boston was interested in acquiring a forward, and they investigated them. They investigated John Collins. They investigated, you know, Aaron Gordon. But ultimately, they do get a wing player who can score in Evan Fournier, and they are definitely in bad need of wing players. So the Celtics got better today. Whether they hit the required home run to take them out of 500-ville, that's yet to be seen.
Right. Hey, look, the Celtics needed anything, right? They had a coming to Jesus meeting last week. It didn't work. We're watching them playing. They're playing horrible basketball, watching the game last night. And I'm not blaming Marcus Smart for losing the game because I know it's more to that. But Marcus Smart has been wide open a lot late in the fourth quarter for those driving kick three-point shots. And he haven't been able to knock him down. But getting a guy like Evan Fournier opens up the lane for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker to go to work. And then, you know, hey, he's a guy that's capable of having a big night, and he adds that extra firepower to the bench. The Celtics needed whatever in this before the trade deadline. They needed to add something because they have not lived up to expectations.
Yeah, the Celtics added that dead-eye shooter from three because Fournier can knock it down from 3 points. Well, what I like best about this deal, even though I don't want to give any type of credit to Danny Ainge, is he didn't give up anything but some second-round picks, so that is awesome. So now you have Fournier, and we see Smart sometimes can be suspect, but you do have Smart who can play defense. It's like one of those things. Do you want defense this game, or do you want offense with Fournier? So that's the best part about Fournier. He can come in, knock down a three, be solid, and he also – one of the things I love to say about him, he makes the people around him better. So like you said, Perk, he's going to open up the lanes for a lot of people.
Brian, producer Danny says you've got an update. Can we do the smoke machine? What do you got?
No, not yet. Not yet. But
thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Kathy understands me.
No trade yet. I have been told that within the last few minutes, the Raptors have reached out to the teams and asked them for their last final offer. Basically, in other words, we're about to make our decision. If you want to increase your offer, do it now. Whether or not any of those teams did, yet to be seen. But I do get the impression in talking to executives around the league that the feeling is that the Raptors just are really in a box here, really trying to get more than they are being offered, and the teams are just not willing to bend. Philadelphia, even though they traded for George Hill, I am told that they are still in it, mm-hmm. but their offer is in. They're not going to change their offer, and because they have George Hill, they felt they upgraded. So I don't know if the Raptors are going to hear what they want, but the last and best offer call just went out, according to what I've been told.
This Miami's is so first good. Offer was their best offer.
Best reality show on television. I'm telling you, let's see how it works out. We only got 14 minutes left. We're going to take a quick break, but stick with us. Things are happening. Welcome back to the Jumps Trade Deadline Special. Guys, we've got 9 minutes and 20 seconds till the deadline and some huge names still out there. Ramona Shelburne has joined us now. Ramona, you've got some news to report on the Warriors, right?
Yeah, well, Kelly Oubre is their guy that they are taking calls on until the final deadline here, Rachel. There's a lot of interest in Kelly Oubre. He cost them a lot of money this year in luxury taxes, but they, like the Warriors usually are, prepared to pay a lot of money if they don't like any of the offers that they get here. But there's a lot of interest in Kelly Oubre all the way up until the deadline. He went to shoot around this morning, participated in it, but he's sitting here waiting just like the rest of us with 9 minutes left to go.
What do you think, Richard, that Kelly Oubre could give a team? Because we saw how he played in Phoenix, then we've seen how he's played in Golden State. He's been up and down the last couple of
years. No, he has. But the issue with Kelly Oubre, like Ramona said, is that you know how much he's worth. So it's like if another team takes him on, the salary cap hit, what those ramifications are. And if you're talking about the top teams in the league, they're already normally right at the cap or over the cap. So to bring in Kelly Oubre, unless you're going to give the Warriors an expiring contract that's of a higher value, it's just tough, and that's why his name hasn't been mentioned that much, similar to like a LaMarcus Aldridge. Do you want to pay for that? And so he has a ton of value, wing defender. Jump shot has gotten better, but he's athletic, slasher, cutter, but I just don't know what you would give for him.
Yeah, it's not much you can give him because his contract is too big. He's up and down. It's not like he's a consistent player. He's a good defender, but he's not a consistent offensive player. And this day and age, that's what you want in a player. You want someone who can knock down threes on a consistent basis, especially if you're trying to play for a championship.
Yeah.
Ramona, can you take us inside a little bit what it is like for these teams? Because Brian was just saying on the last segment, okay, Toronto's taking these best and final offers. We've got, again, 7 minutes and 30 seconds left to go. Kyle Lowry still on the board. Victor Oladipo still on the board. Yep. What is it like inside these calls between the GMs?
Well, it's Rich, when we get down to the end here, a lot of this stuff has been, okay, show me your final cards here, right? When you're playing in a game of poker, you know, you're bluffing at it, you're guessing at what somebody has, but you're always thinking, what will they do in the last 5 minutes before a trade deadline? What will they finally do? It's excruciating for players, too. I mean, I was texting with Duncan Robinson earlier this morning, and he was like, I don't know if I should take my pregame nap. Right. I mean, literally, think about it. Should you take your nap today?
Yes.
I mean, it's what it's like for the team. It's what it's like for the players. It's intense for everyone involved.
Well, you can keep your routine, but what if you're napping when there's a trade? Guys, come on. What if you're getting traded?
They're not going to show up with a gun and drag him out of his hotel room or where he's sleeping.
I know, but I think he wants to know. I don't think he wants to sleep through his own trade if it happens.
If you can't do anything but sleep anyway.
If you can't control it and it's inevitable, whether you're going to be on the team or not, you got to stick with your routine.
We were talking.
That's not true. I was in Oklahoma City and I had to wait to the very end, to the last minute before I found out I was getting traded. And no way I could sleep through that. There's so many things going through your mind about moving, what team you're going to. And at the time, I was getting traded to the Utah Jazz that wasn't very good at the time. So I was stressed the hell out. So it's not just, go to sleep and wake up and
he
just
said,
find out what happened.
Should he take his
it
nap?
It don't work like
not
that.
Can he. He will not be able to sleep. But should he try and get some rest for his pregame nap? The answer is yes.
Kathy, can we get the smoke machine, please?
We got some.
Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting about Toronto trading. It's not Kyle Lowry yet, but I still wanted the smoke machine. Toronto trading guard Terrence Davis to Sacramento for a future second-round pick. Ramona, are they trying to clear? I mean, what we know that they're having, as Richard said, a fire sale. They've clearly decided they are going to use this time to rebuild, still having a lot of strong assets with guys like Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet, so they can reload for next year. They're not playing in Toronto anyway in front of their own fans, so if they finish out this season in Tampa on a low note, it doesn't matter as much for them. But what do you feel like Toronto is doing here in these final six minutes, Ramona?
Yeah, this is about clearing roster spots, Rachel. Mm-hmm. If you're trading Kyle Lowry, you have to make the salaries match here, okay? So depending on which team he goes to, the salaries would have to match. He makes $30 million. Some teams have to get to 24. Other teams have to get closer to 30, which means you're probably taking back more than one player, right? You're taking three or four players. So they need the roster spots here to make this match, and they're trying to accumulate as many assets in the process while they do that as we come down to the end. Important to note here, Goran Dragic's name comes up in conversations with Miami. But remember, Goran could veto any deal here because of the contract extension that he signed over this. So that's why his name, while it might be out there, he does have some say in what happens at the end.
And it is interesting when we talk about these contracts going in. You talk about a guy like Duncan Robinson, whether he should nap or not. He's a guy who in this offseason, right, he's a restricted free agent. Is that correct, Ramona?
Yeah, so- and because he was undrafted, right? They signed him from their summer league team. And I want to circle back on Goran Dragic.
Sure.
The reason why he can veto it is he has an option. So if the team does not pick up his option, he can veto this deal. So these are the types of things at the end here, as the final deals come in, as the final things are being worked out, that matter. So if Goran Dragic, if the team that trades for him or wants to trade for him doesn't pick up the option, then Goran Dragic can veto it.
Can you imagine, by the way, Pat Riley? I'm not sure I would want to be Goran Dragic staring down Pat Riley if he does somehow pull off this deal to get Kyle Lowry that the rest of the NBA wants. If Pat Riley beats out Philadelphia, beats out the LA Lakers. Yep. And Goran Dragic might be the one to stand in the way of this trade. I don't think you'd want to be on the other end of Pat Riley's wrath there. But again, a piece like Duncan Robinson is interesting because his number is coming up, and the Miami Heat would be in a position where they'd kind of have to overpay him.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, we look at the contract that Joe Harris just got from Brooklyn, and that sets the market for shooters there. Now, Duncan Robinson is a homegrown Miami Heat guy, okay? They found him. They signed him. They put him on their summer league team. They grew him through their G League team. He is a success story. But you know what? The Heat are really good at creating success stories. They can they think they can find another one if they have to include Duncan Robinson in this deal. I know they don't want to. Eric Spoelstra loves him. Everyone loves him there. But I haven't checked to see if he took a nap because I didn't want to wake him in case he actually did.
It's funny to bring up Goran Dragic, by the way. We remember at the trade deadline a few years ago, it was Phoenix pulling up that crazy trade, basically, at I think it was 3:59 on a 4 p.m. Yep. trade deadline day. We could be getting that right now, guys. It is 2 minutes and 13 seconds until this trade deadline. Kyle Lowry, Victor Oladipo still on the board. There was a lot of chatter at one time of Victor Oladipo to Miami. Now, look, I don't know, Robert, whether Miami just figures they can get Victor Oladipo this summer. They don't have to deal for him. But what do you think Victor Oladipo would add to Miami if he did end up there either today or in the summer?
You know, when Duncan Robinson is not making his threes, you can put Victor Oladipo in this spot. He can knock down threes, and he's more athletic, and he's not a defensive liability. So you can add Oladipo. I would do that. But I wouldn't go out and trade for him now because I would love to have him and Duncan Robinson. Wait for the summer because we know you're not going to stay in Houston. We'll wait and do either sign and trade or just pick you up on, on off market.
Well, here's my thing. It's a certain type of mindset and mentality you have to have in order to go play for the Miami Heat and that culture. I don't necessarily know if Victor Oladipo fits that culture. I really don't. I don't know if he have that mentality, that work hard, that grind hard mentality. Yes, he goes out there and he could hoop and he could play. He's a baller, but you got to have a different type of mentality. You got to have tough skin. And I don't know if Victor Oladipo has that tough skin to match that Miami Heat culture. I just don't.
Victor Oladipo likes to say he's feathery. I don't know if that fits in to the Heat culture. I don't know. We are less than 1 minute. 1 minute to the deadline. Richard Jefferson, do you think Victor Oladipo or Kyle Lowry are going to get traded in this next minute?
Damn right. When you're with all respect to Brian, when he was like, oh, they could keep him. They can't keep him. They're literally actively clearing spots on the Toronto Raptor to bring back more players. So Kyle Lowry, with all due respect, played against you multiple years. You're a talented guy. Congratulations. But your time in Toronto is over.
Well, I was texting with Kyle last night after the game. And he was talking about the sign he threw up and everything. He's like, well, I was just saying goodbye to age 34. Goodbye to age 34 and perhaps Toronto. We are down to it. 6, 7, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Give us a smoke.
There we go. So wait, I just want to say, just because we haven't had the news cross yet doesn't mean it hasn't happened. I mentioned what happened with Phoenix a few years ago. It looked like, oh, not much is happening. And then boom, at like 4:05 p.m. that day, the trades start coming through. All they have to do is be agreed upon before the deadline. They don't have to be certified by the league or anything like that. So we are officially over the barrier. We will keep you posted about what may have happened in the last 5 minutes. We certainly believe
something going to Philly.
Has happened. Well, Kyle is a hometown guy in Philadelphia. There was a flirtation a couple years ago when Kyle was a free agent. He thought maybe he would end up there. He tested the market. The market wasn't quite as robust for Kyle Lowry at that time as he expected. That is when he went back to Toronto on a deal that wasn't as long-term as he was initially looking for. And that is why it is up this offseason. That is why he is going to be a free agent. And we are in this position again. The Kyle Lowry sweepstakes, though, are very different than his summer free agency. Now it seems like everybody wants him. This wait is really hard for the rest of us. But as we try to figure out what has happened, who has gone where, let's play a little something, nothing, or everything. Why not, right? Because we're going to look at what we already know. The Celtics snagging Evan Fournier, never Google, from the Magic for two second-round picks. Don't do that to yourselves.
Don't Google Evan Fournier. Just Google Fournier.
The man said himself, don't Google my last name.
But he said Google my last name.
No,
you're
he
welcome.
Said he's, oh, well, yeah.
You're not familiar with me. Please Google my last name. You're welcome. Listen to the player, Rachel, like you just said.
I take it all back. Don't listen to Evan Fournier, but you can watch him. Ramona, is Fournier going to the Celtics something, nothing, or everything?
I think that's something. They need some shooting. They have a lot of other needs. I think they needed a little more help. But this is something, right? They got something, and he's going to be a good player for them. But they just have a lot of young guys, a lot of guys under 6'5", that they could have used another big to help them down low.
This is
well,
a huge sum.
I think it's everything because here again, Danny Ainge out here trading in used cars to bring back Escalades, right? And that's what he did. He finessed the Orlando Magic and got back Evan Fournier, a knockdown shooter, a guy that don't need the ball in his hand to be successful on the offensive end. I mean, playing off the ball. So I think it's everything, especially looking at where the Celtics are right now in the AC, two or three games below 500. It's just, hey, they needed something, and I think this was a good deal for the Celtics and a great move by Danny Ainge.
Now, this is a huge something, especially for a guy like Kemba Walker. You know, Kemba Walker hasn't been as durable in the past, so when you can get him off the ball, let him be a point guard and give him some time to rest on that bench, and then use a big upgrade, like I said, when it comes to Smart being able to shoot the three down the stretch. And you need a guy who can be clutch down the stretch and knock down some threes and not worry about, you know, am I going to give it to this guy or not? Will he knock it down? Because, you know, Smart, his consistency is kind of questionable, but this guy has been known to knock down some big shots.
It's something. It's something because you look at what their need was versus, like, their number one need was probably addressing the big spot. Their second need was shooting and some help, like, on the scoring side. So they got their second need. And to me, the Boston Celtics, this doesn't change anything for them. I think they're still in the third or fourth spot, but they're not dropping to, like, the six or seven. They're still in the top four, but they're still fourth. So I don't think that they moved up. I don't think they moved down, but they definitely solidified their position.
Look, we're still waiting to see what's going on here as the deals come in after the deadline. This is what happens a lot of years. Things that were agreed on at 3:58, or in this case, 2:58, right, Eastern time, we hear about them at 3:05. Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting, though, that Lonzo Ball is not going to move from New Orleans. They were shopping him. The deadline passed. He is going to stay in New Orleans, which I got to tell you, I think is fantastic. I really like the Lonzo Zion connection, Robert. We've been talking about this all week.
Yes. It's hard to find a connection when you have a guy who can pass like Lonzo and who can receive like Zion because he's so quick. And we don't talk about his IQ. I know you've heard Magic talk about he's one of the smartest point guards out there, but he does have a smart, he does have a huge IQ. And with him and Zion can get that relationship going because they're still fresh. They're still new. They're young. They're still learning the game. These guys should still be in college. You know, we should be watching the NCAA tournament, but they still have had a time to learn each other and get to play because that connection can be crazy good. You know, I'm gonna say this again, a little miniature Shaq and Kobe. It's a little miniature.
Don't ever say that. Like I can't.
He played with them. You're not allowed to say it. He's allowed to say it.
Okay. Anyways, so this is how
there's a lot he's allowed to say.
There's a lot that he's allowed to say. That's just one of them. But this is the thing. And what Perk and I were having a discussion early, it's about value. The right. reason why he didn't get an extension is because what he believes his value is, whether it's a max contract, whether whatever it is, he believes his value is X. And so they didn't want to pay that to him. They still don't want to pay it to him, but then they try and shop him, and then every other team is like, well, no, we're not going to give you three players or a pick for him. Mm-hmm. So basically, they're going to let him go restricted free agency. Maybe he'll get 30. But will you stop, Perk? I'm almost done. And so just saying, he's not going to get the value in free agency. That's what they want to go see. Go get your deal, and then we'll match it, but we're not going to overpay you.
You are so wrong today. Like, you are so wrong. It had nothing. Look, the reason that Lonzo didn't get traded, it had nothing to do with his value. It's because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. So if you're looking at a team like the Knicks, why give up something?
Thank you.
Something right now when you know in a couple of months I could get him and pay him and get him in free agency. That's just a smart move. It has nothing to do with undervaluing him or teams not the one to give up. No, they just know, hey, let's be smart
that
about
does
this.
Not work.
He's a free agent, and if we want him, we could get him in a free
Lakers
agency.
Lakers thought that about Paul George. saying, you see it all the time. Teams think they can get somebody in free agency so they don't go pay them, and then they go someplace else. Because players do take it personally. It's like, you could have gotten me. Why didn't you go get me? Like, oh, you didn't want to give up any assets for you. So the guys still take that personally. I'm just putting it out there.
No, Richard, you're right.
But listen.
Thank you, Ramona.
Richard, you're right. Paul, ask Paul George about that.
She's a real expert.
Lakers, right? I mean, Paul George to this day will still tell you, the Lakers could have traded for me, and they didn't.
They didn't.
So he held that against them several times and when he had a chance to go there as a free agent.
Yeah, we're going to go to break after Ramona talks.
Richard says you're right. That's one out of every 1,000, and we up here hoorahing and praising the Lord because of that. No, we're not going to do that. And here's another thing. Like, when you don't get traded and your name has been in trade talks, now you got to go back and listen to the general managers and executives lie to you and tell you how much they want you to be a part of the organization, knowing that they've been
shopping. You don't really have to listen, Perk. You can just do like I did and be like, okay, whatever, man. You know, I'm just going to do my job and play basketball, and whatever happens,
is that
happens.
That the way it went?
Yes.
Is that the way it went?
Yes, that's how it went.
Here's the thing about Lonzo Ball, okay? The Pelicans have a great player, and he has shown this year in the way that he's been shooting his threes. Like, I did not expect that he would be this great of a three-point shooter this year. I mean, he's worked with assistant coach Fred Vinson. He's gotten that shot is all straightened out now. He doesn't go over to the side. He goes straight up, okay? He is a good young player. The Pelicans valued him highly, but they obviously have young guards they want to play as well. They wanted a lot for Lonzo Ball, and I think Chicago was the team here. When they made the trade for Vucevic, that kind of takes them out of this Lonzo Ball equation. And the Pelicans hold tight with Lonzo. I don't know if they'll be prepared to pay him, but at least they still have him on their team, and he's been a good player for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Again, a connection with Zion, I just think, don't go away from that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. But again, just because you
Kirk's
have not
so
heard about a trade,
so mad. Doesn't mean it
hasn't happened. This is what happens at the trade deadline. For the next 20 minutes or so, we will still see deals rolling in. Mm-hmm. So stick with us. Big names still on the board. Welcome back to The Jump, and we've got not just one, but two Woj bombs during that commercial break. Go ahead, Director Kathy, make it happen. This is where I miss the crank, because you guys would both be just like covered in smoke
right now. I like the smoke, because it like actually frames me very well, right? It like smokes you, and it's just me doing this.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the news. Houston trading Victor Oladipo to Miami, a source telling ESPN.
Hear that,
also,
Perk?
Kyle Lowry, Woj tweeting, is staying.
That's mind-blowing.
With Toronto, which Richard said 10 minutes ago would not happen, so he might be in a penalty box for the
I was
rest
quoting
of the
Ramona! I'm kidding, Ramona. I'm
Do
kidding.
Not
I'm
throw
kidding.
Our
I'm
friend
kidding.
Under the bus. Please.
I said I was kidding before I finished this sentence.
All right, Zach, what do you think of those two moves?
I'm very surprised by the Lowry one, given all the moving parts and Toronto jettisoning some guys to open up roster spots. But look, they didn't have to trade him. They're still a decent team. They're still set to be a decent team next year. They can sign and trade him this summer. Oladipo to Miami has been rumored forever. My guess here, until we get the terms from Woj, is that the price was just lower than it would have been for Kyle Lowry, that Toronto held the line at a place where Miami was uncomfortable. And they said, okay, you know what? We'll take this guy. We'll get his bird rights. He helps us this season. We get to look at him, see if he looks healthier, see if he looks a little more productive for us, and we'll see what happens in the summer.
And the deal with Lowry now, obviously, staying in Toronto. Look, of course, they can re-sign him, considering that they did have offers from around the league. And as we've talked about a lot, Zach, it's a little bit of a lost season for them at this point. Sure, they could get there. They're in 11th now. They could get into a play-in. They could win their play-in. They could get a first-round playoff matchup. But if you're a team that just won the title a couple of years ago, everyone would understand if they had completed this fire sale. Why do you think, even if the offers weren't quite what they wanted, they decided to hold firm here? Do you really think they're going to sign and trade him or just sign and keep him?
I think they could, yeah. I mean, why not sign and trade him? They could this summer. There will be a market for him this summer. He's still a very good player. And as far as why they keep him, look, he has tremendous institutional value to their team. He's the greatest player in franchise history. If the offers were middling, if the offers weren't up to what they thought they should be, fine. I mean, this is a team that, you know, if you just give them a bad first round pick, they don't really care. They think we have a history of getting guys that aren't even drafted and turning them into players that are better than first round picks. So you got to give them something that matters to give up a player like Kyle Lowry. I'm not totally shocked. I am surprised given all the machinations that were going on today. It is definitely a plot twist I didn't expect, but we'll see what happens.
Plot twist. Plot twist. I love trade deadline day. All right, so Kyle Lowry staying with the Raptors means that the teams that were bidding for him aren't getting him. So we just talked about Miami. Victor Oladipo is going to fill that need there. Robert, you're with the Lakers so much as one of their studio analysts. What do you think about the fact that they are not getting Kyle Lowry? We'll now move on to the buyout market. What do you think the impact is? Because clearly they just weren't willing to give up what Toronto wanted.
I think in that trade, they wanted THT, and we've seen what THT can do. He has a huge upside to him. He's only 20 years old, and he has a huge upside, and he's learning from one of the best guys in the game in LBJ. So to go out and Kyle Lowry and mortgage the farm for this guy who, like Jeff says, is a rental guy for one season isn't feasible for the Lakers. You cannot do that because you're going to give up too much for one guy, and then it's taken to the salary cap, and then you lose your future. I know everybody says your future. No, it is your future. No, you don't know what's going to happen with LeBron James. You don't know what's going to happen with AD. So you have to keep your future and always plan for that, because if you don't, then you're going to be looking like some of these teams, like, you know, like the Celtics did a couple of years, like the Spurs have, because we always talk about potential. I always laugh when people say, oh, the Spurs was that team that always wanted those foreign players, and they didn't get those foreign players, they didn't turn out, and that's what you think about with these picks right here. So you just got to stay solid and keep THC in the house.
We said it yesterday, just because you're thirsty doesn't mean you have to drink poison. It was, you know, it's true in this situation where it's like, I believe Kyle Lowry should have moved on, but if the asking price isn't right and you feel like you have better options, whether via sign and trade, via keeping him on your roster, it was a fire sale. You know, Ramona, Zach, everybody's kind of surprised that with all the teams that were offering that they didn't just take the best offer and start this process. But one thing that no one on this panel will do is really and truly question Masai Ujiri. No one is going to question Masai Ujiri. Right. So whatever his plan is, we just have to wait and see.
Well, it's interesting, too, on the Lakers side. We're going to talk about buyouts in just a few minutes with Bobby Marks, but this could tip also, hey, they might know something about whether a guy like Andre Drummond is going to come their way, so they don't have to give up THT or mortgage the farm for Kyle Lowry. Perk, what about Philadelphia? They are also not getting Kyle Lowry out of all of this. How do you feel about what they have and without him, their place in the East?
To be honest, I really didn't think they needed to really push for him like that. It would have been a great addition. But I still healthy. If the Philadelphia 76ers are healthy, I still have them as the best team in the Eastern Conference. I mean, they're stacked. The chemistry is there. Guys are being stars in their role. You look at Tobias Harris, he's playing at an all-star level. Seth Curry is one of the most underrated players in the game today. He gets credit for shooting, but he's more than just a shooter. They have extremely good depth in Dwight Howard, Shake Milton. Like, they have a roster, and you can tell these guys are committed. They're bought in. Just look at the way that they're playing right now without their best player in Joel Embiid. So I'm perfectly fine. And then they add George Hill.
Perk, we got another trade coming through, and it's your Boston Celtics.
Uh-oh.
Not a major move, but it is going to be major to Celtics fans. Daniel Tice is going to Chicago. What do you think about that, Perk?
For what?
Woj has not revealed. Woj has not revealed from the mountain.
That means it ain't for much. If there's other people to be named later, then it's not for much.
See what happens when you miss a three?
I get it, but listen.
Mo Wagner is what I just heard through my ear. Producer Hillary, producer Danny telling me. Mo Wagner, Perk.
I don't love it. Daniel Tice brought a lot to the table, in my opinion. A guy that was an underrated shot blocker for the Celtics. He knew his role. And guess what? He extended his game, and he was starting to knock down three-point shots. He sacrificed a lot. I thought he was a major key for this Celtic team, because whether he was starting or coming in for the bench, off the bench, he was always a true professional, always ready. So I'm kind of hurt by this to see Daniel Tice go, especially not really getting nothing back in return, to be honest.
More smoke, producer Kathy. More smoke, please.
We got more smoke?
Well, you know, more. It's trade deadline. I got to use it. It doesn't cost anything.
I was asking if we had another deal.
Our Tim McMahon reporting a little bit more on that Victor Oladipo deal. He says that the Heat are sending Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, and 2020 first round swap rights to the Rockets.
Ooh.
So that is who is in that deal. We will be coming back with more. These trades are, again, still trickling in. So please stay with us. We are also going to talk about what happens on the buyout market. Bobby Marks is going to join us to discuss that next. Things are happening.
Buyout market's bigger than the trade market.
Welcome back to the Trade Deadline Special. We got all the virtual smoke you could ever want, people. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting Golden State has traded Marquese Chris to the Spurs. We will keep our ears to the ground because, again, even though we're past the deadline, we are still going to hear over the next few minutes deals that got done in the last 3-4 minutes before we hit that 3 o'clock Eastern mark. I now want to welcome in our front office insider, Bobby Marks, joining us now. And it's so fascinating as we watch Miami acquire Victor Oladipo. The Rockets could have just had Caris LeVert we were talking about during the break. What do you think of all the machinations that have gone on since the James Harden trade with Houston and now with Oladipo going to Miami?
Yeah, I mean, they could have had Jared Allen, too. I mean, to pair him next to maybe Christian Wood in that front court here, and it would have cost them some money because he's a restricted free agent. But it's funny, Rachel, my phone has 10 text messages from 10 different teams saying, why didn't Houston just keep Caris LeVert? And why, instead of just going through this Victor Oladipo shenanigans that we just saw over the past, you know, couple days here. And when you get back, you know, Kelly Olynyk and, you know, Avery Bradley, players like that, and I think there's a pick swap down the road, you basically, you got nothing for him. And that's the consensus around the league. And LeVert is on a really good contract over the next few years through 2022-23. And you know, not to be critical for the Rockets, but you could have had a nice young player instead of the two you got back from Miami.
Yeah, and by the way, not only under contract, but already playing well. The man had cancer treatment this year and is already, as we saw earlier in this show, lighting it up in Indiana. All right, Bobby, let's move on to the buyout market because that is now the name of the game. Our Dave McMenamin just reporting that the Lakers have confirmed to him that there's no more deals coming from the Lakers. So now they are moving on to the buyout market. Who is the biggest name?
It's Andre Drummond. I look at Drummond and there are six teams to consider with him. And I think the wild card of this group is going to be the New York Knicks.
Hmm.
I think if you are New York and if you're Andre Drummond, you're looking at a marriage here that could be long term. Anywhere else he goes is going to be a rental based on team's cap situation with the Lakers or maybe even Brooklyn. With Drummond to New York, it's an audition for a team that's got $50 million in cap space this summer, an opportunity to play. And if he goes to a team like Brooklyn or even the Lakers, there's no guarantee that he's going to play 25 to 30 minutes. So he's the number one guy for me from the buyout standpoint.
Perk, what would be more important to you if you were a guy like Drummond? Would you want to go to a team like the Nets or the Lakers where you feel like you could win a ring this year? Or would you want to go to a place like, say, the Knicks, where you could have maybe a longer term stay there and possibly line yourself up for more money?
Well, it all depends on who you are, Rachel. I mean, some guys want to win and some guys want to get all the letters that they possibly can, and you can't knock them from that. And I think it's going to come down ultimately to what Andre Drummond want to do. If he want to go to New York and audition to get more money, or he want to go win a ring. I mean, he done already made $100+ million in this league. I'm not counting his pockets. He's not getting younger. He should be wanting to go win a championship. And I do think if he goes to the Los Angeles Lakers, there are some minutes there for him. And I think he could get about 25 to 26 minutes a night because they are missing that lob threat at the basket. They're missing that guy, those two guys like Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. Marcus Gasol, I love him, hell of a career, former Defensive Player of the Year, but he's not what the Lakers need. So if I'm Andre Drummond, you got to choose between the two, whether I want to go for me a ring and put it and try to win me a championship to have in my trophy case, or do I want to go audition and keep filling up my bank account? It's on you either way.
All right, Bobby, so that's a little bit about Andre Drummond. Who's your next name on the list all these teams are going to be competing over?
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge in San Antonio. And, you know, when the Aldridge rumors came out, I guess, a couple weeks ago, the number was just so high, Rachel, for a trade to happen. And San Antonio has been known to do buyouts. I think we're going to see one come down the road here. They did one with Pau Gasol and Damari Carroll. Aldridge in Miami is certainly a match to keep an eye on. The Heat now have these roster spots based on this Oladipo trade that they can go out and sign Aldridge and, you know, have him maybe back up behind Bam Adebayo and maybe experiment and play with Adebayo there. But Aldridge to the Heat is probably the name and team to certainly to watch over the next couple days.
And it's interesting because LaMarcus Aldridge, he has not, let's just face it, he has not been playing well for the Spurs lately, but I want to turn to you guys. You're both former Spurs sitting here in the studio with me. And you said during the break to me, you said San Antonio is a place that if you're not happy, it's hard to play well. So if that's part of the issue that's been going on with the Spurs, do you think if he moves to another team, if he moves to, say, Miami, like Bobby's talking about, his level of play will go up?
Well, let's just look at two veterans just this season. Blake Griffin ain't dunked in 2 years. He plays for 6 minutes with the Nets. He gets a dunk. James Harden looked like he was, you know, at Big Mama's house with a fat suit. All of a sudden, he's an MVP candidate for the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah. If LaMarcus Aldridge ain't happy, I'm going to personally believe that there's a lot more in the take than what he's presenting right now. That doesn't mean you want to trade for him. Doesn't mean you want to do anything.
Pay the huge salary, but if he's getting bought out.
But if he's getting bought out and he can show up on your roster,
yes.
My belief is that he's doing that he has a lot more ability.
You all think about this. This is one of the guys that scored 50 points in the game without shooting a three. Mm-hmm. So you know the guy can score. If you put him on a team like the Miami Heat with that staff around him, he can score in the paint all day. We know Pat Riley and that crew is a grinded, gritty type of team. And look, even though people don't look at LaMarcus Aldridge in that type of form, but he is that type of guy in the post, doing work in the post, getting buckets like that. So if he goes to the Heat, it'll be great for them.
The one thing I will say is that if he was not happy in San Antonio, I'm very curious to see how the structure and the intensity of Miami. Because without a doubt, the two places that are the most structured and consistent are Miami and San
Antonio. But here's the thing is, I was miserable in Phoenix because we weren't winning.
Okay.
And when you're not winning and you're used to winning, it plays on you mentally. So when he's going to the Heat, who just came out the finals, he's going to be energized. He's going to be excited. He's going to be ready to play.
He was miserable way before that.
That's what happens when you go for the money. That's what happens when you go for the money.
You've got a microphone on.
Oh, okay. Well, don't tell anybody. LaMarcus has been miserable for a while.
Bobby, thank you so much for being with us.
I love you, Richard. I love you, man. I feel like I'm back in New Jersey hearing that. And they're hearing you. I feel like I'm back in that Nets locker room.
It's good to see you, Bobby. Can't wait to see you.
We haven't even set this up yet, but I'm going to promo it anyway.
Bobby drafted me.
At some point, we're going to do just a whole either segment or, frankly, it could be a whole show, Bobby, with you telling stories on Richard Jefferson, on Vince Carter.
Well, I got some Bobby Mark stories. Can I tell some Bobby Mark stories?
We'll wait for another day. We're both a lot older.
That's the after dark segment.
Because the tea is coming.
Yeah,
that's all
is coming.
That's all I'm saying.
We know where the bodies are buried, both me and Bobby.
Both of us.
It is New Jersey, land of the Sopranos. All right. We are going to debut a brand new segment on this show. We're looking ahead to some other transactions that are going to be important. Free agency, yes, that was a factor today, thinking about where all these pieces are moving around and the bills that are about to come due. Welcome back. We've got another trade alert. Yes, Andrew Lopez of ESPN confirming an Athletic report that the Pelicans are sending J.J. Redick and Nicolo Melli to the Dallas Mavericks, friends. The Pels getting back James Johnson and a second-round pick. What do you guys think of that?
Well, for me, it's like J.J. Redick is a great shooter,
what is happening?
Because this is a real, like, we're not talking about J.J. Redick to the Mavericks. That moves no needle.
Right. They're trying to make a play, man. They got, like you said, they got to save face. So they got to, like,
J.J. Redick can still do something.
Hey, Redick gets to return to his playoff streak, and the Mavs are missing Seth Curry's shooting. You think Redick's...
You don't return to a playoff streak. You have to start a new one.
Okay, good point. That's valid. I'm just saying that this will be interesting as we see now.
Good contribution
Dallas
for the Mavs. It is a good contribution.
Going forward.
Tim Hardaway Jr., and that just don't mix to me.
Okay. Well
more
see.
Shooting.
Yeah.
Give Luka more weapons to hit. That's what you need.
We'll see. You guys, now it's time for a new segment here at The Jump. Oh, yes.
Uh-oh.
A new segment for us. And look, this is so fascinating. Transactions never sleep in the NBA. And a huge part of today's trade deadline has been about for teams looking forward to the summer. Who's on the expiring contracts? Who might they have to pay this summer that they wanted to get off their board? So, Brian, what is your free agency forecast? And let's go to the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, so Kawhi Leonard is kind of the last remaining big-name free agent who is going to be out there this summer. But I will say this, that with what the Miami Heat did, they acquired three players at this trade deadline season and Trevor Ariza, Nemanja Bjelica, and Victor Oladipo, and none of the three of them are signed for next year. So the Heat upgraded their roster and kept their options open in free agency if there's some miracle that Kawhi Leonard may want to leave the Clippers, which I am not expecting to happen. But Miami, I think you could say that Miami was the winner of the trade deadline. The Chicago Bulls also made some terrific additions, but they took themselves out of free agency with their moves today. Miami got better and kept their cap space.
And it's interesting, right, because Miami had initially been saving that cap space in case Giannis Antetokounmpo did not sign his Supermax. Of course, he signed it with Milwaukee. That means he cannot be traded this summer. He cannot be acquired by anybody. Therefore, they have the cap space if Kawhi Leonard decides to test the market. Ramona Shelburne, do you think that that might happen?
I don't see Kawhi going anywhere, but look, we didn't really see all this stuff happening. Right, we all thought Kyle Lowry was moving, okay? And the Clippers flamed out last year in the playoffs, okay? And I like this trade that they made today. I think I have always been one of the last residents of Rondo Island, okay? I have always been somebody who says playoff Rondo matters. And it's, in some ways, Lou Williams is a huge, I think losing Lou Williams and his scoring and what he gives them is a huge loss for the Clippers, because he is one of the guys. A couple years ago when the Clippers were becoming this fun, gritty, attractive team that Kawhi was thinking about going to join, it was because of Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, and Montrezl Harrell. Two of those three guys are gone now. And Lou Williams, you know, I know people make fun of the Atlanta, the Magic City thing. I get that. But he was a leader in that locker room. He's a guy that a lot of people respected. They're gonna miss his presence there. They're going to miss his scoring. But this is a bet on changing the dynamic of that team. And we've talked about Kawhi a lot. When he has won championships, he's played alongside a top point guard. Rajon Rondo has won championships in Boston and Los Angeles with the Lakers. He's a championship point guard. Now, Kyle Lowry would have been nice. Lonzo Ball would have been nice, okay? But they did not have the assets to get those deals done. And I think, Rachel, when we look back on that trade deadline, we're going to talk about not just the deals that were made, but the deals that were not made.
Yeah.
There are so many sliding doors this season, going all the way back to the James Harden deal. And we're talking about Houston right now. Houston could have had Ben Simmons on this team right now. Houston decided to go with the Brooklyn Nets trade. They could have had Ben Simmons. I mean,
and then they could have had Caris LeVert.
And then they could have had Caris LeVert. Yeah. I actually think this is a great trade for the Clippers. Yep. They don't actually improve their financial standing here. They're still in the hard cap. They save a tiny little bit. But Lou Williams is an expiring deal, and Rondo has another year. And he's happier now because he got paid in the offseason.
I would like to say, by the way, for the youngsters out there, when Ramona says a sliding doors moment, she's talking about a movie.
Yeah,
two different alternate futures. And it is a fantastic way to describe a paradigm, because as you say, hey, Houston could have had X or Y, and that means that, you know, Ben Simmons would be there because Harden was traded to Philadelphia. You can also sliding doors that the other way. What if Philadelphia, who is watching James Harden be the backbone of the Brooklyn Nets while Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have been in and out of the lineup, what if they had had him, not just, oh, gee, we make that swap for Ben Simmons and what does that do to our team, but keeping him away from Brooklyn because he has been so valuable for Brooklyn. Again, it's days like today where all of that stuff is fascinating with these alternate multiverse futures of the NBA. Perk, what do you think when you look at Kawhi Leonard, maybe that being a possibility, and the way Miami clearly left room for him today?
Well, yeah, well, I mean, when you look at Kawhi Leonard, I mean, he didn't sign a contract extension. And to me, the Clippers are in a must-win situation.
I don't think he was eligible for an extension. I believe he could pick up his option this summer. But you're right. He's leaving it open. I talked to him just a couple weeks ago about it, and he said to me, you know, I'm not making that decision right now.
Right. So he's left it open, and I think it's an audition. I think that they have to deliver a championship, and we all know that Kawhi don't have a problem with taking his talents elsewhere if the job don't get done. So right now, I think adding Rondo was huge. Obviously, losing Lou Will was a key part, but I think that relationship had ran its course already, especially this season. You watched it. It was so much up and down. It was times where Lou Will wasn't even getting the minutes that he was accustomed to getting. And when you look now, you could bring Reggie Jackson off the bench along with Marcus Morris, and you have enough firepower. The Clippers have enough offensive power, firepower. What they was missing was that leader, that veteran leader, that point guard, that floor general, and they got that in Rajon Rondo. And I know he haven't been playing extremely well for Atlanta Hawks in the regular season, but let's not forget, playoff Rondo, he earned that name for a reason. And when the bright lights hit the ice, he turns it on.
Playoff Rondo is real. The numbers are the numbers. His numbers go up in every stat category, every major stat category during the playoffs, and the Lakers were the beneficiaries of that last year. Brian, let's talk a little bit more about Lonzo Ball. Not traded today. Do you think he will sign with the Pelicans long-term this summer? A restricted free agent, Richard keeps saying, hey, didn't get what he wanted from the Pelicans last summer, where last offseason, when they could have done that extension.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the Pelicans are financially and whether they can afford to Lonzo Ball and his price with the other commitments that they have. But today was a huge day for Lonzo Ball because Chicago Bulls made moves to use up their cap space. They now would have to create space to sign Lonzo. That was a serious contender to sign him. So I don't know where they are. So enter the New York Knicks and the Miami Heat. Those are two teams that were interested in trading for him, will have open salary cap space and a need for a point guard this summer. Also, the Toronto Raptors, if Kyle Lowry ends up moving on. Today was also a big day for Dennis Schroeder, who was potentially an option for Chicago if they couldn't get Lonzo in the summer. Now that door seems to be a little bit closed. So look for Lonzo, Schroeder, and Lowry to be the subject of a bidding war amongst the teams that need point guards this summer.
Well, look, Brian, you said earlier you thought Miami had to be considered the winner of the day. Which team do you think was most impacted by today, either by acquiring players like Miami or the players they didn't get?
Well, I just think the Houston Rockets. I'm holding my tongue a little bit because you look at what James Harden is doing for the Nets, yep. And you look at what their return is, and I agree, some of those picks 4 years from now may hit, but today it's rough, and what they got for Victor Oladipo was akin to a fire sale. They got next to nothing for him, and I just don't feel great about those transactions. Maybe they'll use those picks in the future, but today I don't feel good.
Well, not a great day in Houston means it was a good day in Miami, and so I have to say, Pat Riley wins again. We'll have to see if it means that they are back in the finals and possibly another ring. All right, stick with us. Coming up, our players are going to give us their best trade deadline stories. We heard a couple really good ones yesterday. Matt Barnes talking about how he was sitting on the Clippers plane on the tarmac for 2 hours wondering who on the plane would be traded. He was one of the possibilities. They were all checking Twitter, and finally they pulled two guys off the plane that weren't him. We've got the rest of these guys going to tell their tales. Welcome back to The Jump, and this is it. The deadline has passed. Woj, is your phone on fire? The man who all day, every 3 minutes, has been updating us with news after news after news, our senior insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. And Woj, the biggest story today is Toronto deciding in the end to keep Kyle Lowry. Can you pull the curtain back on that decision for us?
Yeah, you know, you saw a buildup of deals with Toronto trading Terrence Davis to Sacramento and Matt Thomas to Utah, and obviously the Norman Powell deal to Portland, which I thought was one of the best of the day. And it felt like a buildup to a Kyle Lowry trade. And I know Masai Ujiri was talking with teams right up until that 3 o'clock Eastern deadline, and the Lakers, Philadelphia, Miami, obviously, and you know, Miami pivoted. They did the Victor Oladipo deal, and I think part of it too, in talking to people around Masai Ujiri and the Raptors and Kyle Lowry, you know, he was always fine with finishing the season with the Raptors, and I think ultimately Ujiri didn't find a deal that was compelling enough to make the trade. And listen, he'll finish the year with the Raptors. He'll become a free agent. You know, when you look at the direction of the franchise, you know, it seems unlikely that he would be part of their long-term plans. And obviously, Lowry at this point in his career could certainly go somewhere else and maybe be in position to win a title. But there's no question Kyle Lowry staying in Toronto was a surprise. And they went down to the wire before deciding that they weren't going to take any of the deals on the table, and he was going to stay in Toronto or stay in Tampa, which is where he'll finish the season.
I was going to say, where he will be able to play more golf for the rest of the season. It just, I mean, this day, it never disappoints. Just there's always the not action is action. You mentioned the Norm Powell deal to Portland. What do you think that does for them in the West?
You know, it gives them, gives them another impact perimeter shooter. Powell's had his best season in the NBA, averaged almost 20 points a game with the Raptors this year. I think 42-43% on three-pointers. And, you know, he'll be a free agent this summer. He'll be able to decline. He'll decline certainly his team option. And, you know, he can certainly be a part now of that, you know, Blazers core. And this is a team that's getting its players back healthy. Obviously, CJ McCollum came back recently. Yusuf Nurkic will be back soon. And all of a sudden now you've got a Portland team that really held the fort down when they lost, you know, so many of their key players throughout the season. Damian Lillard had carried that team, and now everybody's back, and they get a great boost from Norm Powell, who comes back to the West Coast. He was obviously a man who played his college ball at UCLA.
Real quick, before we let you go, Woj, the LaMarcus Aldridge domino, the Andre Drummond domino, the players be expected to get bought out and go to contenders. When do we think those dominoes will fall?
Well, both LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond are going to get buyouts with their teams, the Spurs, the Cavs. I'm told that the Miami Heat are going to be a front runner for LaMarcus Aldridge. He plans to talk to several teams, and same with Drummond. I think there are a number of teams who'd love to have him. Both LA teams, the Nets, the Knicks are certainly a team with some cap space moving forward that could be intriguing, and Drummond will certainly have his choice of where he wants to play.
All right, so everyone out there, if your team did not make the move you wanted or expected today, it is possible that move could still be coming. Woj, thank you so much. Again, the phone.
Thank you, Rachel.
Make sure it does not explode before the end of the day. We are almost out of time here on the Jumps Trade Deadline Special, but I want to get back to, you know, what it is like to be a player on a day like today. Perk, I know you got a story. Why don't you go first?
Well, Rachel, fortunately, I was only traded twice in my 14-year career. But in Oklahoma City, I knew I was about to get traded like weeks in advance. I was told that by the front office. But in Boston, I had no idea. I actually found out the morning I woke up in my hotel room in Denver, and it was on SportsCenter. And the next thing I know, blockbuster trade. Kendrick Perkins has been traded to Oklahoma City. And I'm like, what? What's going on? And I did not know. I literally had to find out through SportsCenter, and then all of a sudden I looked at my phone and I had like 10 missed calls. So that's how I found out that I got traded. That's the weirdest trade story for us with me.
This is why Perk said earlier on the show, Duncan Robinson, don't sleep, because you never know what could happen. Robert, what about you? What's your spiciest trade story?
Well, I've been traded 2.5 times. So
you know, half is important.
The Sean Elliott trade that fell through came back. But I think for me on the other end, I think when you lose a good friend, I remember driving to the stadium, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden I see Otis Thorpe leave, and I'm like, Otis, where are you
going?
He's like just leaving. And he didn't even know he got traded because this was before cell phones.
Ah.
This was before all these things you could know. So he had got to the stadium, and we had made a big trade for Clyde Drexler. And I'm like, Otis, where are you going? You my boy. You know, so that's the only trade story I had around trade deadline, because I got traded in the summer one time, and I got traded when I threw the towel in Danny Ainge's face. You know, that was executive.
You threw a towel at Danny
Ainge's
face?
Yeah, that was an executive move, man. I had to do that to get up out of Phoenix, man. I just told you earlier that I hated losing, mm-hmm. and we were losing in Phoenix. I had to get to the Lakers.
You threw a towel
at the coach's face?
You got to do
I'm just
what
playing.
You got to do.
I'm messing with you. I grew up in Phoenix. I was watching
the
exact same thing. It was
Producer Danny says Google it. Again, don't Google Evan Fournier's last name.
Google Fournier. You're welcome.
Anything from our show today, never Google. Richard, what's your best trade story?
Well, my best trade story is not a deadline, but I did have a kid. This with cell phones, a kid told me that I got traded at my own basketball camp. So at the last day of the basketball camp, and I've said this before, you're signing autographs for everybody as they're going through the line. And, you know, the parents were there to pick up the kids. They bring in stuff. And then this kid comes up to me. He's like, hey, I heard you just got traded to Milwaukee? And I was like, I what? And then and I looked down and my phone's ringing. It was actually on the draft day. So it was the
transaction
draft
day.
So it was a transaction day.
Right.
And I was like, really? No one's talking to you, Perk. My story.
I'm always talking to you, Perk.
And so I looked down and then Rod Thorne's dumbass was calling me.
Hey, Rachel and Robin, and guess what? The Nets got better.
And there we go. There are so many great stories around the NBA. Kyle Korver being traded for a fax machine, basically. So many transactions. Things have changed, Robert, since there were no cell phones.
Yes.
And now our two-hour trade deadline special is over. But this is not the end. The jump will be on tomorrow.
Hey,
we
Perk,
have more
back up a little
news.
Bit from the camera
no,
next time.
No.
But Perk, why is your wife's head so big?
I'm missing you, Frank, but thank you. Thank you for a virtual
Let's
one.
Let's frame it a little
it's
bit
better. It's never boring in the NBA, people, or on this show with these fellas.